Pastor has been very gracious to give me some more time. It reminds me, I'm so happy for this church, because in some churches, they are so programmed that after a certain time, they switch off. And, actually it's a true story. In Toronto, I was driving down the road, someone was driving me around the main road. And along the road, there were many churches. And there, every church, outside the church, there'll be a board. Big black board with some white writings on it. Very big board, where usually there are some slogans or Bible verses to attract people to the church. And one church, the slogan was, guaranteed message only 20 minutes. So they want to attract people to church by saying, no more than 20 minutes, guaranteed 20 minutes message. That's how they attract people to the church. Well, praise God, your church is not like that. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and ask God to speak to us. I believe that even though it may be a little longer than usual, you will not regret, because we are depending upon God's Spirit to speak to us and revive us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. You're so gracious and so kind. And Lord, you always work in us, Lord, to build us up, Lord, in the most holy faith. And Lord, even today, I just pray this evening, as all of us have come here, Lord, to listen to you, not to listen to a man, but to be ministered to by your Spirit. We acknowledge, Lord, that our teacher tonight is your Holy Spirit. And Lord, write your scriptures in our hearts and minds, that we may take to heart what we understand and put to practice. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter verse 1, he says, follow me as I follow the Lord. And it's very rare in the Bible that someone says, follow me as I follow the Lord. Only Jesus said that. And rest of the people, you won't find them saying, follow me as I follow the Lord. And even today, preachers don't usually say, follow me as I follow the Lord. They will say, don't follow me, follow Jesus. Because we are not confident that we are walking in the ways of God. Most people don't say that. But the Apostle Paul, who was once a violent man, persecutor, a blasphemer, a man who lived in hatred, envy, and every possible sin, he says one day, follow me as I follow the Lord. He was transformed, totally transformed. He tells the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 4:16, I urge you to imitate me. In verse 17 he says, Timothy will tell you all about my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Look at the confidence he has. His confidence was not in himself. His confidence was in the Lord. He put no confidence in his flesh. He put all confidence in the Lord who gave him strength. How was his life so wonderfully transformed that he could say, follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ? The calling for every Christian is to imitate the life of Christ. Be imitators of God. God wants us to live a life like Jesus lived. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. As Jesus walked, we have to walk. As he lived, we have to live. As he spoke, we have to speak. As he did, we have to do. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus means as he would have done. It's a very high calling for every Christian. But by his grace, by his Spirit, we can do it. And Paul did it. Now, before we want to live like Jesus, we must think like Jesus. Unless you think like Christ, you can't live like Christ. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, as a man thinks, so is he. As a man thinks, so is he. So if you want to live a life imitating the life of Jesus, you must first think like Jesus. You must have the mind of Christ. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, read to us just now, we have the mind of Christ. Paul is talking about himself and his other companions who worked along with him. Not only him, he says, we have the mind of Christ. And the Philippians, he says, in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. The NIV version says, your attitude should be like the one of Christ Jesus. But King James version says, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. So this evening I want to talk to you about having the mind of Christ. How even as we respond to the resources God has given us, we can one day say with confidence, we have the mind of Christ. And it's for all Christians. To Philippians, to the church, Paul says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. And if a man like Saul was transformed by the grace of God to be what he eventually became, he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And since God's grace is not limited to Paul, but available for every Christian, you and me can receive grace to have our minds transformed. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We all know that verse very well. But can we really say our mind is transformed? Our life is transformed? Are we a new creation? You know, the word, don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds. Romans 12:2, very famous verse, very popular verse. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your minds. There is no life transformation without mind transformation. There's no mind transformation without the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Now, this word transformation is from a Greek word called metanoia. And from metanoia, we get the word metamorphosis in English, which is used to describe how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. When a caterpillar is in a cocoon, it's a caterpillar. When it comes out, it becomes a butterfly. Any resemblance between caterpillar and butterfly? No resemblance. It's transformed. So in other words, when you turn to Christ, there's no resemblance between your old life and new life. All things have become new. Unfortunately, many Christians, there's a lot of resemblance between old life and new life. Not much has changed. So we must understand our minds must first be renewed. Renewed means what? Made new. Made completely new. Old life, new life. Paul explains to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So before our lives are changed, we have to ask God to renew our minds, that our minds are changed and we think like Jesus thought. How do we do that? When we live a life in the Spirit. When our minds are controlled by the Spirit. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, Paul says, those who live according to the sinful nature set their minds on what that nature desires. Those who live according to the Spirit, the Spirit capital S, Holy Spirit, set their minds on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 8, Paul says, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. It's not possible. So the question is, our minds are controlled by what? Is it controlled by the sinful nature or controlled by the Spirit? And it's up to us to offer our minds to the Spirit to take control. It's up to us what we do. The question is, what we think depends on what we want to think. Now, sometimes we have no option but to think about what we're supposed to think. Imagine a neurosurgeon, a doctor, Christian doctor, neurosurgeon, doing a brain operation. At that point, he has to think about the operation, where the needle has to go. He can't be thinking about the next sermon he's going to speak on Sunday morning. He has to talk about the operation. So he's not free to think. So when you're doing something, like an examination, you think about the exam, what you're supposed to write. But you know, there are times when our minds are free. When we are free to think what we want to think. So what do we think about when we are free to think what we want to think? Ask this question to yourself. You finished a day's work, you had dinner, put the children to sleep, and you want to sleep, but you go to bed, lie down, no sleep is coming, tossing around in bed, and your mind wanders. So when you are free to think what you want to think, what do you think? What you think then is going to determine what your life is going to be. If you look at the book of Micah, chapter 2, verse 1. Woe to those who plan iniquity, who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light, they carry it out because it's in their power to do it. At night, when lying down in bed, you can think what you want to think. You are not forced to think on your work or on your whatever job you're doing. You are free to think because you're waiting for sleep to come. And writer talks about, Micah talks about how wicked people plan iniquity on their beds. But look at David, Psalm 63 verse 6. He says, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. What we think depends on what we want to think, what we choose to think. When we talk about the mind of Christ, let's understand the mind of Christ was always focused on the will of the Father. Jesus' thought life must have always been on the will of the Father. Because in John 4:34 he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Everything Jesus did was what he saw the Father doing. John 5:19. Everything Jesus spoke was what he heard from the Father. John 7:16. And as the Father sent Christ into the world, Christ has sent us into the world. So we must think on the things he wants us to think. Don't fill your minds with the things of the world. Fill your minds on the things of God. And our mind can waver. You must take authority over every thought. You know, when you look at the incident of Simon Peter telling Jesus, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. And you know, it is in response to Jesus' question, who do people think I am? And then, who do you think I am? He asked the disciples. And Peter says, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. What did Jesus say? Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father revealed this to you. How happy he must have been, Peter. Imagine, in front of all the other disciples, Peter is there, John and James must have been there. Others are, in front of everybody he says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father revealed this to you. But I felt so high. Top of cloud 9. Because among the disciples, there is always a competition. They are very normal people like us only. Always competition. Who can drive out demons? Who cannot drive out demons? Who will sit in God's right and left hand? Who won't sit there? You know, it's like when Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James and John went with them. There were 9 disciples below. There was a demon-possessed boy. They couldn't drive out. Jesus came down the Mount of Transfiguration along with Peter, James and John. The Father says, your disciples tried to drive out, they couldn't drive out. And I can imagine Peter, James and John looking at the other 9 disciples. If we had been there, we would have driven out. The other disciples, 9 must have thinking, Peter, James and John are thinking, if they were there, they would have driven out. So while they were going back from there, the discussion going on. Jesus is walking in the front maybe, behind these 12 disciples, discussion. Who can drive out, who cannot drive out? Then to make matters worse, there is another group there, driving out demons, successfully. And the disciples, Lord, they are driving out demons, stop them. Lord says, those are not against you, are for you, leave them alone. There is always competition among them. In this spirit of competition, Jesus tells Peter, flesh and blood reveal this to you, my Father revealed this to you. How happy he must have felt. I am sure he looked over the shoulder and looked at Peter, at James and John, and said, you heard what he said? Direct communion from God. Direct hotline from God the Father. Not through Jesus, directly from God the Father I got this revelation. Maybe he didn't say that, but he had, the body language must have shown. You know, heard what he said? Next thing, what happens? Next thing Jesus tells Peter is, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested, crucified, buried. And Peter again says, never Lord, this shall never happen to you. Never happened to you. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Get behind me, Satan, he tells Peter. And this time, I believe, James and John looked at Peter and said, you heard what he said. Get behind me, Satan. But the point was, Peter had in mind the things of men. Not the things of the devil. Things of men. Very human response. So supposing you have a group of believers in the church, and one of you says, I'm going to go there. God wants me to go there. There's going to be a riot there. I'm going to get beaten. I'm going there. What will you say? Don't go, don't go, don't go. It's out of love. Supposing, okay, go, go, no problem. What will you think? This fellow has no concern for me. I'm telling him I'm going to go and get arrested there. He says, doesn't matter, keep him quiet. And one person says, don't go. You think he's only concerned about you. Nobody is concerned. So Peter must have thought, this will, you know, commend him for his concern. He says, get behind me, Satan. Peter had in mind the things of men. Not necessarily things of the devil. A human response. A human response can sometimes, very often be, not a godly response. We are supposed to have in mind the things of God. So, a mind of Christ means a mind which is full of the will of God and the word of God. So, you and me have been given authority over every thought that comes to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3, 4, 5 says, though we live in this world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the other hand, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up in the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever you get a thought, ask yourself, is this thought something I must entertain or should I reject it? You must actively deal with your thoughts. And I want to just mention, we don't have time, I'll just mention 6 thought processes which are not part of the mind of Christ. 6 kinds of thoughts which are not part of the mind of Christ, but could be part of our minds. And if you want to have the mind of Christ, make sure these thought processes don't occupy your mind. The first thought process are thoughts of sin. Thoughts of sin. Anything that you know that displeases God, don't even think about it. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 14, God spoke to his people and said, O Jerusalem, wash the sin from your heart and be saved. How long will you harbor wicked thoughts? How long will you entertain wicked thoughts? Don't even think about it. So Romans 13, 14 says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. A second thought process are anxious thoughts. Anxious thoughts. Don't allow any anxious thought to occupy your mind. As we all know, Philippians 4, 6 to 8 says, not to be anxious about anything. Everything we pray, we petition God, we thank God. And once you give your petition to God, don't think about it all over again. 8 verse says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. And all of them are summed up in one person, who is Jesus. When our thoughts are upon Him, we have perfect peace. Don't ever allow an anxious thought to occupy your mind, because an anxious thought is not the mind of Christ. The third thought process are discouraging thoughts. Thoughts of discouragement. It is never the will of God that His people are discouraged. God never wants us to be discouraged. There are so many parents here. And as parents, will any parent want the child to be discouraged? Will you be happy when your child, or son or daughter, is sitting in the corner of the house, sulking and upset and not wanting to face the world, discouraged? You won't like it. Then we as imperfect people do not want our children to be discouraged. How much more our Heavenly Father doesn't want us to be discouraged. See, we get discouraged only when we forget our God. In Psalm 42 verse 5, the psalmist says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior, my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you, O Lord. I will remember you. Future tense, not present tense. So the present tense, you won't get discouraged. Future tense, I will remember you. When you forget God, you get discouraged. And the psalmist says, my soul is downcast. That's discouragement. Our Christian life is a life of eternal encouragement. Second Thessalonians 2:16 says, by His grace, He has given us eternal encouragement and good hope. Having believed in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in us. He lives in us. He is a permanent resident in our bodies. He never leaves us. And He is an encourager. When the encourager lives in us forever, and we learn to listen to His voice forever, how long will you be encouraged? Be forever encouraged. We only get discouraged when we take our minds off the Lord. So a discouraging thought is not from God. So dismiss that thought immediately and remember the Lord. Fourth thought process are futile thoughts. Futile thoughts. Futile thoughts are useless thoughts. Thoughts about the past, they don't help us in the present. When you think about the mistakes we made and say, if only I had not done that, if only I had done that, if only, it's gone. Past is gone. Forget about it. In Ephesians 4:17, Paul says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them with the hardening of their hearts. Don't be like the Gentiles. They are separated from the life in God, whereas you have a life in God. Don't be like them. And in Old Testament time, in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18-19, Word of God says, forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past. I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Now it springs up. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Forget about the past. You see, the thing is, when you remember the past, you are not able to recognize God's work in the present. God says, forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past. I am doing a new thing. He doesn't say, I'm going to do a new thing. I am doing a new thing in your life. Now it springs up, not tomorrow. Do you not perceive it? What happens is, when you're living in the past, you can't recognize God's hand in the present. He's working in us. Sometimes He will humble us, He will test us, He'll do for best for us. So never allow the past to catch up with the present, and it doesn't help you. And it's futile to think about things which don't help you in the present. Futility of thinking. God said, don't do it. The fifth thought process are worldly thoughts. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. That Christ is the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, whose life appears, will appear with Him in glory. We are living in this world. We need the things of this world. We need food, shelter, clothing, money. We need all these things. But Bible says, don't set your mind on those things. Don't be preoccupied only about these things. Let your mind be on things above. And what you have to do to get this thing, God will teach you on a moment by moment basis. We are living in a world. Yes, we need things of the world. But our minds should not be set on the things of the world. It should be on things above. Sixth thought process are bitter thoughts. Bitter thoughts. When you have thoughts of people's sins against you, you can't have the mind of Christ. Because Jesus would never harbor bitterness against anybody. He forgave people unconditionally. And a mind which remembers people's sins against that person can't be the mind of Christ. When we forgive today, we forget. Because God's forgiveness means God forgetting. So please don't say, I forgive, but I won't forget. Some people say, I forgive, but I've forgiven him, but I cannot forget. How can I forget? Well, you can forget because you know God has forgotten your sins. In Psalm 130 verse 3, the psalmist says, if you, O Lord, kept the record of sins, O Lord, who can stand before you? With you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since our sins have been forgiven and forgotten, it's very easy to forgive other people's sins and forget their sins. But sometimes, the memory of people's sins against you comes back to you. How to deal with it? Practically. When any of these thoughts come, sinful thoughts, anxious thoughts, discouraging thoughts, futile thoughts, worldly thoughts, bitter thoughts. Take authority over the source of those thoughts, which is the devil. Rebuke the devil. Ask him to depart in Jesus' name. And then fill your mind with the things of God. When God says don't do something, he says do something else. He says rebuke these thoughts and fill your mind with the scriptures. You know, when you go to sleep at night, let me suggest something to you. When you go to sleep at night, take at least one scripture verse to bed every night. And lie on bed, read the Bible, take one verse, only one verse. Look at the chapter, look at the verse, the content, read once, twice, and close the Bible. Keep it separately. Lie down in bed and keep on meditating upon this one verse and let the last thoughts before you sleep be the scripture verse. Every night, if you take one scripture verse to bed and you sleep with the scriptures, you will find in your dreams, when the devil comes like a roaring lion, you will find yourself quoting scripture verse the devil in your dream. And in your dream, he will run away from you. In your dream, he will run away from you. Psalm 16, verse 7 and 8. I praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. If he is my right hand, I will not be afraid. Every chance you get to go to scripture, the things of God, go back to scripture. You're writing a letter to somebody, okay? And then you come to a point where you don't know spelling, English spelling. You know, fulfill. Single L or double L? First L is single, second L is double L, or what is this? Dictionary. Don't go to dictionary. Go to scripture. Think of some verse in the Bible that has this word, fulfill. Check the spelling. You won't forget the spelling, you won't forget the Bible verse. Necessary. Single C or double C? Single S or double S? Don't go to dictionary. Think of some verse in the Bible. Check out the spelling in the Bible. Very useful. I tell you, it will stick to you. It's amazing what God will do. God will lose every opportunity to come back to you. When you go to driving the car, going to traffic light, and waiting for traffic signal, and you're impatient. No? Always, when I come, red signal. Other people get green signal. This is too bad. Waiting for green signal to come. Don't fret. Take the Bible, read one scripture verse. Nowadays in Delhi, we have timing, 120 seconds for the signal. So 2 minutes, read the Bible verse. Put the Bible next to you. Think about it. I tell you, when you keep on doing it like a catapult, like a boomerang, coming back to scripture, when the test comes, when the crisis comes, the Holy Spirit will take a scripture verse, bring it to your heart and mind. Some scripture verse you read at the traffic lights. Some scripture verse you read when you had a spelling problem. Now some scripture verse you read when you went to sleep at night. Apart from your personal Bible study, every time you speak, every time you have a spare time, go to scripture. When these thoughts come to you, you will say, the devil, it is written. Rebuke him first, then give me antidote for that. If you give the anxious thought, say, go in the name of Jesus. Then tell him, it is written. The plans God has for me are the best plans. I won't be anxious. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans. God knows the plans he has for me. I don't know his plans. He knows his plans. I know he knows. That is enough. I know he knows the plans he has for me. That's enough for me. When you quote scriptures to the devil, he will run away from you. So while you put away all these thought processes, start filling your mind with the scriptures. And let the Holy Spirit teach you the scriptures. This passage read to us this before the message was what Paul wrote. Verse 9 to 16. 16th verse he says, but we have the mind of Christ. So look at the first 9 to 16 verse. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But he has revealed to us through the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man? It's the spirit of man. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit, small s, of this world. But with the spirit, capital S, from God. That we may freely understand what God has given us. This is what we speak. Paul says, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things the common Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, for he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. And then Paul quotes an Old Testament verse. He's quoting from Isaiah chapter 40 verse 13. Where Isaiah says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Old Testament time, nobody knew. Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. Isaiah said, who knows the mind of the Lord? But we have the mind of Christ today. Because today, we have the Holy Spirit who has access to the deep things of God. And since we have received the Holy Spirit, we have access to the deep things of God. And the Holy Spirit will take from Jesus and make known to us. When he reveals, please take it to heart. Say, Lord, write it in my heart. Write it in my mind. I want my mind to be focused on the things of God, not the things of men. I know all of us are very careful not to have the things of the devil in our minds. The things of men, human thinking, can sometimes cloud God's thinking. And ask God to fill you with his scripture. That is, it's the grace of God. And it's not only for some people. God doesn't show favoritism. He is willing to give his treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden in Christ to all people who are hungry and thirsty for God. Ask him for the mind of Christ and he will do it. Ask him to teach you his ways and fill your mind, keep on meditating upon it and say, Lord, it's a joy to live for you. And the word of God cleanses us. John 15:3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, Jesus says. As we fill the mind with the scriptures, minds get cleansed. Your thinking becomes better. Thinking becomes clear. Sound mind, clear mind. Again, there will come an opportune time. Rebuke him, then fill your mind with scriptures. It's for all of us. So I want to pray a short prayer for all of us. I want to pray that God will impart to you the mind of Christ. As a token of surrender to him, And a hunger for his mind, like all those of us who are passionate to have the mind of Christ, would you please stand up wherever you are right now? Would you please stand up? I'm going to pray a simple prayer from here for you to have the mind of Christ. Remember, it is the will of God. When we ask God something according to his will, he hears us. You're asking him for that and he will teach you. Your part is, from now onwards, to allow yourself to be ministered to by his Spirit. Allow yourself for the word to go into your heart and mind. And once God speaks to you, to cherish it, to nurture it, to live it, to follow it, and rejoice in the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As a token of surrender, would you lift up both your hands to the Lord? Bible says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Psalm 134 verse 2. So as a token of surrender to him, as I pray, keep your hands raised. I'm going to just pray for you that he will impart to you the gift of the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for every hand raised, Lord, tonight. Thank you for your children, Master, as they've heard, Lord, about the privilege they can have of having the mind of Christ. Lord, I pray you will take away every disturbing thought, Lord. Let them know they have the authority over those thoughts, Lord. Sinful thoughts, anxious thoughts, discouraging thoughts, futile thoughts, worldly thoughts, bitter thoughts. Let them rebuke those thoughts in the name of Jesus. Let them know they have authority, Master. And Lord, I pray their minds be filled with your word, Lord. Yes, Father, I pray you write your scriptures in their hearts and minds, Lord. Transform their minds. Let them one day be able to say, like Paul said, I have the mind of Christ. Transform their lives, Lord, to be an example to the whole world. We thank you. Pray for your anointing upon them even now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill them with your power. Fill them with wisdom. Fill them with strength. Impart to them the gift of the word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious and matchless name, I pray. Amen. Please put your hands down. Please be seated. God bless you.